in a world full of straight people. Aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
Hello, kings and queens and in-between sinner saints. I don't know if I is or I ain't. Welcome to another queenie episode of Yash Jesus. I'm Daniel Franzese, changing in front of you in my window. And here, as always, is my gaber and bestie.
Ready with my binoculars, Azariah Southworth.
Those aren't binoculars. Those are opera glasses, honey.
You think so?
Don't worry, because here at Yash Jesus, we believe
if you're going to check out your new neighbor, you had better bring some gifts, some spicy ones, preferably spices.
And sometimes you can impress people with the size of your humongous brain.
Oh.
Okay, yes, Jesus. Just Jesuits. Sit right back and then pew, pew, pews. Sis, because today on Yes, Jesus, we going to find out who the hell she thinks she is, Queen Sheba with Solomon Giorgio. But first, Yash Jesus News. Azzy, what's new with you, boo?
Oh, Danny, we have exciting news, especially for those.
Tell me about it.
The poem,
spill it, girl.
Across the poem for them. We are going to DragCon UK. I mean, you already announced that. Yeah, the world knows. It's been in the tabloids. Daniel Francesi is going to DragCon UK. But it's official now. I am also going to DragCon UK. And I'm so excited to meet people, listeners of Yes Jesus, to be amongst the people, as they say.
I love it. Yes, we met Yash Jesuit at the Manic Pixie Dream Market. And now we're going to meet you all in DragCon UK. In London. So come say hi to us.
I mean, we're meeting Yes Jesuits everywhere. I mean, at Goodwill.
Yeah, all over the place. We'll be collecting drag queen prayers for you. So please make sure you come see us at DragCon UK. And now it would be such a blessing to see you, and I would be hallelujahing all over the place, which is a great segue into our segment for the praise report and the prayer request. Now, this is if you have a little something you want to hallelujah extra about, something God did good work in your life and you want to celebrate it here and let other people know, let us know, and we'll hallelujah along with you with our praise report. But if you have a little something that's a little heavy on your shoulders this week, like maybe a little too much to bear and you need a little more prayer, well, we're here for you. Azzy and I will actually pray for you and add you to our prayer lists. And so will our listeners. We're going to start out with one of those special requests, actually, a prayer request.
Now, this comes to us from Karen. Karen is asking for prayer for a friend and sled hockey teammate who is hospitalized after having multiple abdominal surgeries and is on a ventilator currently. His name is Bobby. So we are joining in prayer with Karen and the teammates that Bobby
yeah,
will
it's
be
so
here.
Great to have the healing energy yeah. of a friend's prayer. And
yes.
Wow, and we're going to give gratitude that you have Karen yeah. on your side thinking about you. And we're here for you, Bobby. We're adding you to our prayer list. We hope that you recover and that you get a speedy recovery. So we're blessing you. We also have a praise report. We have a praise report. Azzy, I need a little hallelujah in my step this week, don't you?
Yes, let's get it.
Let's get it. This comes to us from Danielle. Danielle says, hello, Yes Jesus. I'm a college professor and a doctoral student in a small town full of Trump supporters. I see how students come to campus and are searching very hard for acceptance and love. However, they run from the idea of church and God because they think Christians are all anti-LGBTQ. My own child, who is 17, feels the same way. In a few of my classes, I've stepped in many times to protect students who are attacked or made fun of for being both Christian and LGBTQ. Many have asked me why I wouldn't just join in with campus crusades. However, they're not affirming, and they asked me not to show up to their meetings. In response, I chose to apply for Bible schools that are LGBTQ affirming to answer the call that God has for me in dispelling the myth that you cannot be both Christian and LGBTQ, just as Yash Jesus does every single day.
That's
in
right.
fact, I bet that we'll be listening to many of your episodes in this youth group. I have a background of working and teaching for years, and I know that God has called me to do this. I ask for your prayers and thoughts as I go through this process, sending love and light to all who are in affirming campus ministries around the world and to you at Yash Jesus. Loving light, Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Danielle. Yes, that's the mission here. Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, when you're born with having faith in your life especially, it's got to be hard for a lot of people who then might have some experiences like we heard about other people who have been kicked out of their families and stuff mm-hmm. when they come out of the closet. Yeah. And It reminds me of like IKEA. When you go to IKEA, you know, there's all these amazing things that are made and engineered over years and perfected to work. And you know that this leg holds this amount of weight and this, you know, this piece goes with that coffee table. But then, you know, there's also like a group of people that do IKEA hacking.
What?
Like where they say, oh, you know, I don't know the names of the IKEA furniture, but they'll be like, oh, the Sven goes with the Fliegel Floggle, you know, like,
yeah.
And they're like, if you mix a Fliegel Floggle leg with a Sven door, you get one of these and you have this amazing cabinet. Because, people don't limit themselves to the original instructions of how to put everything together. And they look at all the parts, like, what are these for? And they put it together. And I think it's a great metaphor for the queer community and faith. So I think like we are told that we can't have the instruction books. We can't have any organized religion instruction books. They say, these are the most valuable things. These are the keys to life. This is how we do things. Like, and we're not allowed to look at the instruction books. Right. And so we've come up with all creative ways to put our lives together in a way that has balance and makes sense. It makes right. But now we're like, hey, wait a minute. Now that we've already figured it out on our own, I'd like to keep all my awesome queerness and also my awesome IKEA hacking and go in there and also look at those instruction manuals and see what the good parts are. And you can't gatekeep that from me. And I want to see the structure of the foundation that you built me on. And I want to see what those stories are and what those tales are and what they mean to us and how they could be applicable to a queer person. And that's one of the things that we like to do here on Yash Jesus. So Danielle, keep doing what you're doing and stay tuned, because we're going to be back later on with Solomon Giorgio talking about the story of Queen Sheba and Solomon. And we're going to look at a queer perspective on an old Bible tale right after this.
This is Maxi Shield from RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under OG, and you're listening to Yes Jesus.
All right, yes, Jess, what's the scripture of the day to start us out is 1 Kings 10, verse 4 through 5. When the queen of Sheba had observed all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his valets, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, it took her breath away.
I'm so excited about this conversation today, but first, a little bit of a backstory. I ended up at an after hours, as one does, with comedian and writer Solomon Giorgio, and that's how things happen in Hollywood, kid. You want to roll with the movers and shakers? You got to be out there moving and shaking, and this next guest is moving and shaking his sexy everything all over entertainment, his sexy brain. Yeah, his sexy brain. Solomon has appeared on Conan and on HBO and on Comedy Central. And we're so excited right now he's going to appear here on Yash Jesus to do a little Bible wondering. Please welcome to the Yash Jesus family, former Sunday school teacher, yes. Solomon Giorgio. Oh.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I love being in my house.
It's so good to have you here. That part really tripped me out, the Sunday school part, but
we're going to dive into that.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. We'll get into it.
But first, Solomon, we have a bone juice to pick with you.
Wow. But
before we get into that, we want to chat with you just a little bit about what you're working on, what you're doing, what's been going on. So what's been revolving in your solar system lately, and what are you working on?
I've been on strike. I'm a active member of both of the unions, the WGA and SAG. So I am currently now shifting back into writing.
Good.
I'm going to work on I can't mention it now, but there's a show that I love that I'll get to work on again for their second season. And that's sort of been my main focus, is getting ready to go back into the realm of writing.
Is it called Yes, Jesus, by chance?
Possibly. It could be.
You never know.
It depends. What's the pay?
Communion, free communion.
Anyway, moving on. Moving on. Here's what really got me excited about you. You used to be a Sunday school teacher. You know, I think it's a trip when you meet funny people in Hollywood and you find out that they had a church background. Mm-hmm. You always have to... you have to tell us what's the story about being a Sunday school teacher.
Well, it's mostly I chose that route. Well, it was mostly Sunday school teaching assistant because I was too young to be alone with a big group of children. I think legally because I was like 15, 16. Okay. So I was a Sunday school teacher assistant, and I chose that path because the sermons were 2 hours long. And I do not have the patience.
Smart. Very smart.
I was like, there's one way out of this. And that is teaching the Lord to children. And I chose that path.
They have this thing in my Sunday school youth group. Like they'd excuse all the kids, you know, to go into the youth group. And they have this thing where if they'd be like, who knows a scripture? And you could get like a full size Snicker bar. And I was like, I could get used to this. Like, I was like, this is like, to this day, like 90% of the scriptures I've memorized are because I wanted a candy bar. Like,
what's one scripture you remember?
It's effective.
Obey thy mother and father, Matthew 15:4. Give me that. Snickers.
Okay. Coming
back. It was just like literally I was literally just wanted a Snickers out of it. Like literally.
I respect that, honestly.
Danny wants to know more about the Sunday school, but I want to know about bone juice. So tell me, is it part of a balanced breakfast, Solomon? Because I think so.
Azzy, we need you to stay on task. We need you to stay on task. We talked about this. You can find out about Solomon's bone juice on his Comedy Central special.
Yes, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Yes,
I haven't told that joke in 6 years, so I do not remember it very well. Even though it's a personal story of mine. But yeah, I think, was it like me thinking the first time I ever came, I thought it was bone juice?
Right, yes.
Yes, that's the story. Juice from your bones. It makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah.
What it actually is insane.
When you were telling the story on your Comedy Central special, I did not know where you were going with it. And that's what I love about comedy is the surprise, right? That's the best part of comedy. That's what comedy is, right? But when you said bone juice, I died. And it made total sense. Total sense. My little 12-year-old brain would have been like, yeah, absolutely. This is bone juice. And what did you say?
I convinced other kids.
Or it was being used for something?
Once you have like that, I thought in order to make a baby, you would just collect the bone juice in a jar, possibly be clean about it. And then when you have enough to make a baby skeleton, you hand that to a woman to finish off the rest.
Such a gentleman. I love that.
Yeah. I thought it was just a pleasant exchange. And then I found out what sex really is. And that is disgusting.
Ew. Well, besides bone juice, I also know you have a Bible story for us today. So we're excited to hear that. But we wanted to let you know how sometimes we like to Bible wonder, and it's preferably being baked. So we enjoy a good baked Bible story here. Now that we're high on the Most High, can you tell us about the other Solomon?
And for anyone following along at home, you can read the story in 1 Kings chapter 10.
Actually, we need to back up before then. King Solomon is King David's son. He took over when David died, and just like most King David stories, this one also has drama.
Before we let our Solomon tell his story of King David and the Queen of Sheba, we should share two Solomon stories.
One comes from 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon is a new king, and God likes him. So God says, "Ask what I should give you." Solomon says some very nice things back to God, but then this is what he asks for. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this great people of yours?" So this is where the wisdom of King Solomon comes from. It was a gift from God.
And there's one more story that I want to talk about, because our friend and president, Fran Drescher of SAG, SAG-AFTRA, told this story. She was like, "Mr. Sheffield, here's the story of King Solomon," like in order to explain the strike. But it also shows the wisdom of King Solomon. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 3. Two women, I'm not going to do it, Fran Drescher. Two women approach King Solomon with a dispute. Both had given birth, but one of the babies died, and one of the women accused the other of swapping out their babies. King Solomon asked for a sword and told the guards to cut the baby in half, just right in two and give half to each mother. And one woman said, sure, that's fair. While the other said, don't kill the baby, but let her have it. And King Solomon determined that the mother was the woman who loved the baby enough to want it to live.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing that story for the first time as a kid and being riveted by it. No, don't cut the baby. Maybe I'm the mother.
It is one of the good ones.
But that story, that story about the baby really established King Solomon's reputation for wisdom. Can you tell us a little bit about Solomon, the other Solomon, you know, the one from the B-I-B-L-E?
Yes. So there's several kind of variations of this tale, because I'm telling the story of the Queen of Sheba, which is kind of, there's a, so Ethiopia like is pretty like, it's where Ethiopians are, we show up a lot in the Bible. We yes. pop in here yeah. and there. but most very like integral like part of our history is our lineage with King Solomon through the Queen of Sheba. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of variations of this story, but the one that I kind of grew up with and was kind of like loosely told was that she went there. So like Sheba is where kind of Ethiopia and Eritrea is, like that's kind of that area. And Sheba like heard of Solomon's wisdom and was like, I'm going to go take a trip, meet this guy, gets asked some questions, also trade some spices and gold and blah, blah, blah. And she makes that journey and like, and then when she gets there, they kind of like have this, like she's only like she, they feast, they trade, she gets a bunch of wisdom from him. And he kind of, I've been told two different versions, like where he's like, where they like they made a deal where it's like she's staying overnight, and if she like steals anything they have to have sex, or there's also another version that I've heard where she was like they made a deal with each other where they're like, okay, so let's an oath, you could stay here the night, and the Queen of Sheba was like, I'll stay if you promise not to hurt me, because I'm a political leader in another country. Fair. So please,
that's
don't
fair.
Do that. And he was like, well, in that case, if you stay, don't steal anything from my palace, which is very rude. like don't kill me, don't nice steal things. From me. like really, really
I mean, it's some
situation.
Basic party ground rules. If you don't yeah. kill me, I won't steal. Don't steal anything, don't kill me. Like, you know, we can make a little
yes.
deal.
Yes. And so they actually have a big feast that evening, and it is very spicy because it's the Middle East, as it should be. Mm-hmm. And she eats the food. It's nice and spicy. And she's about to go to sleep. Like, it's like the middle of the night. And obviously, like my bloodline, we all have terrible heartburn and acid reflux. And so she wakes up in the middle of the night, like, I need a glass of water. And she goes to get some water. And that, unfortunately, King Solomon was like, you broke your oath. You are stealing from me. And she's like, oh, okay. And she's like, I don't know exactly the fine-tuned details, because it's sort of a lot of translations of it, but essentially they throw the oaths aside and they end up having sex. Yes. And she ends up getting pregnant. And that leads to her like going back to Ethiopia, people like obsessing over the name Solomon. And now it is, that is sort of like our lineage between like there's a lot of Hebrew trade during the time, and that's kind of that bloodline going to Ethiopia, and that's also was sort of like a treasured part of our culture after that, because the line of Solomon being a royal line, especially in Ethiopia and Israel at the time, was like super important, and like now Solomon is the most common boy name outside of Johannes, which is just John in Ethiopia. So
Solomon's like a pretty common name over there.
Yeah. If you went to any of my family reunions and you said Solomon, you'd have 1,000 heads turn at you.
It's kind of like mine and Antony. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's established like, now, but we didn't establish earlier. I don't think that you are of Ethiopian descent, correct? Yeah.
Yes, I should probably mention that.
It might be a little pointy.
To the people that are listening, I am black.
Oh my gosh. I had my first Ethiopian food, and I'm ashamed to say that, but this past summer when I visited DC, and my best friend took me to her favorite Ethiopian restaurant. And I love the communal aspect of eating, because it's all on one, well, at least what we got was all on one plate with the sponge bread.
It's called injera. It's made from teff, which is an ancient grain.
Yeah.
That I don't believe has any gluten.
Love that. But all your food is on top of that, and you tear it apart and you... Mm-hmm. sop it up and it's so good. But I love that communal aspect of it. But I'm curious, being of Ethiopian descent and being a queer person, do you mind if we get into that a little bit and what that experience is like?
Oh, yes.
And what Ethiopian culture is like and how they respond to queer people?
Oh, not well.
Okay. You are not allowed to eat there at their communal table.
Surprise! They're not chill about it. And I grew up in a very homophobic kind of situation. But I'm very fortunate. I am an immigrant, but I came here when I was very young, and I was in Seattle, Washington, when I was coming of age, and I was in a very supportive situation. My parents weren't the best, and they're very strict about what their ideals are in the Bible. So it's definitely a more modern turn towards queer people in Ethiopia, but it's definitely, they're definitely not chill about it. It's over the last 50 plus years.
A little bit more modern than Uganda or Nigeria.
A little more. It's been around because Ethiopia is actually one of the first two Christian nations. It's an argument between us and Armenia.
Okay.
And so we've been because we still have monks that speak Coptic. We make claims that we have the Ark of the Covenant. And
it's right behind you. I see it.
Wow.
It's right. I got it. Don't tell anybody.
I remember you got a Snickers. I got an Ark of the Covenant.
But
give Danny a Snickers. He'll say you have it.
But it's definitely very traditional. We still our Christianity is one of the blueprints to what later it became. At first we weren't that queer phobic, but now it definitely very much so is. But fortunately I had a sister that was also queer, and she came out first, and I kicked the door down after her. So my parents didn't really have a chance.
I know in white American evangelical culture where homophobic theology really peaked, and it was after the word homosexual was added in the Bible in 1946, we saw with the rise of the moral majority in the 70s and all of that. Was there a time where queer people were accepted in Ethiopia or...
Well, Ethiopia is an ancient civilization.
Right.
Like the Kingdom of Kush, which is the second oldest civilization next to Mesopotamia, was right where Ethiopia is. And we were a matriarchy. We had a queen in 6,000 years ago. Yeah. So it was sort of just that shift into the patriarchy, which is a more modern situation. So Ethiopia has been a part of the development of Western culture because we were always a trading spot. We were always a point in history since the dawn of man, honestly. So our development is on par with what was going on in Europe and the Middle East because we were part of it. We were always there. So whatever is going on just in modern wise, Ethiopia has always been up to par. And so any shift culturally was usually because of A, Western culture and our direct connection to it.
Well, let's hope that we can shift that a little bit more to a more accepting, affirming, safe place for our community.
Yeah.
Have you been back?
I haven't been back in a long time. It's not particularly safe. I feel like I would be fine because I'm not that easy to clock. And that's one of the benefits.
Those wigs
of some
behind
of
you say otherwise, huh?
I wish I would bring them with me if I could.
Well,
I love the culture and I love the food and I love the people, but I tend to stick to the ones here for now.
Yeah, I hear that.
What are you hopeful for Ethiopia?
For me, it's Ethiopia was such a thriving and very historical place, and it's such a big part of history. And what I definitely want us to be on par with any other First Nation country, because I feel like our culture has always been there, and we were an integral role in so many things, and we're sort of our history's kind of pushed aside. So for me, it's hope of us getting better and more modern, and also there's definitely a lot of civil war issues and fighting and terrible things going on there that I'm very familiar with. Just hoping one day that we stop fighting each other and we get into a better situation and get back to literally being one of the greatest countries in the world, because we were.
And I'm real quick, I just want to say thank you for telling your story and being that representation for the queer kids, other Ethiopian queer kids, because I think...
Oh, wait, are they here?
They are. Come on out, kids. Come on out.
Oh, no.
And it's the Ethiopian Christian Troublemaker Choir.
That would be epic. We need that. Oh, my God. But honestly, you're probably someone, you know, a kid out there who is grew up in the same situation you grew up, homophobic, you know, family culture. I don't want to speak for you, but
the House of Sheba,
and you know, you're that representation, and you know, tearing down the walls, knocking away that doing that work of liberation through comedy.
I didn't even realize I was.
I
doing
mean,
that.
You're welcome.
Jeez. You know, it's kind of, it's.
I'm
just
gonna send them a bill.
Send it to Danny. Send it to Danny.
No more.
No,
bills.
To the kids. Oh, to okay. the kids.
Fair, fair.
Yeah, if you're out there being inspired by me, I'm expecting a check.
Oh, that's fair.
It is just literally the sheer queer audacity of being visible.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally that. It's like just like, you know, making yourself be seen. I even feel like in this story, you know, Solomon was known to be a wise king. People had heard of his wisdom far and wide. And Queen Sheba sought out to meet him, like brought him gifts, like wanted to establish a connection, wanted to be visible, wanted to be seen. And I think that it's an interesting aspect to go to someone who you admire, who's like a neighbor and you hear about, and make yourself be known.
Honestly, yeah, I love a social climber. She found her way.
She sure did.
But that's kind of how stuff gets done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're like really like it's in, especially for to hear a story of a woman doing something like that. There's so many nameless women in the Bible, but you know, for her to have a place in the Bible as in a story, like it does show audacity. And I have to ask you, like, what do you think? How do you think this story could be applicable to queer people?
She slept with him.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she got yeah. She,
if somebody thinks you're stealing.
Yes. Embody the villain.
And you'll get away with it.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Who's to say? Who's to say you didn't take a cologne from the bathroom on the way out? You know what I mean? Just like a little.
Honestly, look, I've stolen from so many men and I'm going to continue to do it.
I mean, I know I've lost a few hoodies to a couple of. You know, a couple of bottoms out there.
Don't look at me like
I'm
that.
I do way more damage than that.
Oh my gosh.
As you know about you, how do you think this story could be applicable to queer people? I try to find a queer perspective
on
everything.
I mean, they banged. Well, I don't think she stole. She got a glass of water, you said, right?
Yeah, but she did it herself, which...
See, that's
look, the rules are very strict sometimes, but I also think he
Dom Top will always get the water.
I think mostly just was like, I want to have sex with you, and I understand that.
Yeah, it's kind of a cute way to be like, she got a glass of water,
but no, like she,
like
she,
you know, now you owe me.
She
booty.
Ran an empire 6,000 years ago, like, or whatever amount of time years ago that was. It was a time of. Like there was like there were like women leaders were there and running empires and like and existing and maintaining relationships, and like to be able to do that as a woman, that's a very fucking perfect queer narrative, because women in our community have been that strong for a long time and have 100%. Uplifted us up.
Yeah,
I've just heard it throughout. Who does she think she is? Queen Sheba?
Yeah.
Like, I've heard. And what does that mean? Like, just walk right in here and get a water?
The audacity.
You know?
And then, like, yeah. And you should.
Like, what? Yeah. Just, you know, I worked with, I bring her up every once in a while. She's no longer with us. But this woman, Ellie Willis, who is a Emmy, Grammy winning songwriter, Tony winner. But she was doing this project one time and she had Mary Wilson from the Supremes come in. And I was so excited to meet Mary Wilson. And Mary Wilson was like, may I have a water? And I was like, yes. And I ran into the other room and I grabbed a bottle of water and I gave it to her. And she goes, I'm Mary Wilson. I am a Supreme. You're not going to give it to me in a glass. I was like, ah! I was like, first of all, thank you for reading me. And like, but you know what I mean?
Bone juiced in his pants.
Everyone was like, oh, yeah, I bone juiced in my pants. And I was like, who does Mary Wilson think she is? Queen Sheena? Yeah. You know, but like, she, yeah.
But to be fair, why did you not think of that to begin with, honestly?
I honestly don't know, because I'm just like, oh, water bottle, whatever. But then the glass itself, I was like, what glass do I get? Or Ali Wells collected all these weird glasses. Mm-hmm. It was like, the Flintstones McDonald's glass. Like, what? Like what glass do like, you get?
Should I put in a champagne flute? What am I doing?
yeah, exactly. Just the total nervousness.
You bring her the D to the water company.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Yeah, bring her Starbucks water, which I hear is 4 times filtered and elite. But
Ethos?
We'll see.
Sorry, it's not, this is not sponsored. Never mind. I'm not going to mention
it. Some Voss. Yeah. Fancy water, rich people water. You are the rich people water of our lives.
Oh, that's
thank
so
you.
Sweet.
You know, thanks for guiding us through a big Bible story. It was really a gift to have you, just like a Queen Sheba gift. But we have our tithe love offering charity act of good, Azzy. What do we want
that's
for the people?
That's right. Your tithe love offering charity act of good, if I can talk, is Queen Sheba visited her neighbor, learned more about him, and brought him gifts. It's time for you to meet your neighbors, get to know them, and unless they're a little crazy, and you know that, and maybe bring them a gift. It's old-fashioned, but you know what? This is how community's built, and we need to get to know the people around us more. So be the first to show an interest in your neighbor.
And I also think the best thing that a queer person could be is an example of love. So showing a little gesture of love to a neighbor could be great. As a matter of fact, you may have followers, but if your followers are not actively engaging with each other, learning from each other, and vibing regularly, then you don't have a community, sis. So reach out to us. We just want to know who you are, and we want to feel your presence. And I got to tell you, Solomon isn't the only one visited by a queen today. We have more drag queen prayers. Yash Jesus was at RuPaul's DragCon UK in London. And while we were there, we got some holy prayers from some divine drag queens. And today, we're going to open our prayer segment with a prayer offering by Maxi Shield, who is a contestant on the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under.
I pray that no one goes hungry, especially in the LGBTQIA+ community. As a big girl, we like to feed our mouths as well as our hearts. And I hope that all of our community either has a full belly or a full heart. And we have so much confidence, drag queens. And if we can just share that to someone that's feeling lonely or afraid or just need a big hug against a big set of titties, then I'm the one. And I hope that my drag sisters and my drag brothers as well come forward. And yeah. And if you come to the Fat Girls, we've always got snacks.
Thank you, Maxi Shield. When Maxi Shield left Drag Race Down Under, her exit line was extremely poignant for me. It hit home. Now, please, Yash Jesuits, bow your heads unless you're driving, because Jesus can't actually take the wheel. Father God, we give you praise and thanks for the gifts and talents of storytelling that Solomon Giorgio shares with the world. He is spreading the gift of joy and laughter to everyone. God, we also thank you for the new friends and neighbors who come into our lives to learn more about us. Build and strengthen those relationships.
And we pray with Karen for her friend Bobby. Bring him health and healing. Surround him with love and support, even while he's going through all of his medical issues. Help him to breathe. We give thanks for the witness of Danielle. Keep her strong and keep her connected with this Yas Jesus family. Thanks for all those young people she is protecting from harmful theology. That is doing the work of God. And to that we say amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to another episode of Yash Jesus. You can find us on social media at Yash Jesus Pod or on our website at yashjesuspod.com. Now, if you like the show, please support us with a donation. We have set up a Patreon account where you can become a supporter. You could also make a one-time donation through Buy Me a Coffee. Information to do both is in the show notes and on our website at yashjesuspod.com. Now, if you ain't got no money, honey, then don't worry about it. Just leave us a review or share us with a friend. Help us spread the Yash Jesus word to others who might need to hear it.
You can now leave an audio prayer request or praise report on our website, yashjesuspod.com. We would love to share your voice and your prayers on the show, so drop us a line or send us a recording on yasjesuspod.com.
Send us your praise reports, your prayer requests, your episode ideas, your guest ideas, or even just a I love your wisdom. We would love to hear from you! Yas Jesus is hosted by me, Danny Francesi, and
Zazariah Southworth. Music, sound, editing, and all things audio are done by Chris Heckman. Our show is produced by the freaking Deacon Ross Murray and Lady Boss Meredith Pauly. Our sugar daddies are Reverend Jeff C., Francesca S., Nathaniel N., and John H.
This episode is brought to you by World of Wonder. We are streaming and screaming on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And no matter how foolish or wise you are, God loves you just as you are.
So keep praising the Lord, y'all.